there were voluntary hospitals, and these were often a lot better because they were funded by people, they were funded by charity. So people who were very rich would maybe give money because they cared about their fellow man. So the voluntary hospitals had more funding, and they just provided a better quality of care. And they often gave the opportunity for medical training. So doctors went there to learn how to be a doctor. And some of the first medical schools started in the voluntary hospitals. There were also mental hospitals for people who were ill in the head. Nowadays, if people have a mental illness, they are treated very actively. But in those days, the general attitude was to just keep people with a mental illness away from society. So they went to the mental hospitals really to be locked up, and they weren't given a lot of active treatment and care. So the chances that they would get better were small. There were some specialist hospitals as well that would look after just one area. For example, an eye hospital. So if you had any problems with your eyes, you would go to this specialist eye hospital. But they generally were only in the larger cities, and they weren't available to people who lived in the countryside or lived in smaller towns. So,
excuse me.
Before the NHS was created, there were all these different services available. And when they decided to make the NHS, they didn't just say, right, we'll build everything new and have lovely new hospitals, because they didn't have the opportunity. What they had to do was use everything that was available at the time. So the NHS was created on the 5th of July, 1948. When it first started, it was free to everybody, absolutely free, and everyone was eligible. Eligible means everybody was entitled or was able to go and get treatment. And that included people who weren't from the UK, non-residents. The money to pay for it came from taxes, so people who were working paid taxes, and that's where the money came from. And what they did was get all the existing hospitals and GPs, and they put them under these 14 regional health boards. So that was the organisation, how it was the government of the NHS became. The country was split into these 14 areas, and they looked after the existing hospitals and doctors in that area. There were problems. As I said, they couldn't build everything anew. They only had the hospitals that existed at the time, and they weren't very well distributed. So in the cities, big towns, there were lots of services, hospitals, doctors. In the countryside, in rural areas, there were smaller, there were less services available. So across the country, there wasn't a fair, equal distribution of healthcare services. 1948 was only 3 years after the end of the Second World War, and the country was very poor at the time, and there wasn't a lot of money, there wasn't a lot of medical equipment. Also, at the same time, there was a population boom, so there were more people, and there were new towns springing up around the country. People were moving away from the cities. And there was a shortage of building materials as well. So there were a lot of problems when they first started the NHS. Another issue was lack of experience. There wasn't an NHS before 1948. I think in New Zealand and Sweden, two other countries, they had a sort of health service. But nobody in the UK went to those countries to see how they worked it. So nobody really knew how to look after it, how to organise it, or how to structure it. And it was a massive organisation, and it was a huge undertaking, and therefore very difficult. One of the things that also came about at this time, partly as a result of the war, where there were a lot of new medical treatments being developed, which was a good thing, but it did cost money. And that's still happening today now. invent fantastic new... Sorry, did you have a question? No? Oh, okay. I thought you were putting your arm up. Sorry.